every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Outdoor Living Hour here at Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for over 33 years. And if you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you know the third Saturday of the month, we have Jay Harper in studio, third generation master gardener, fourth generation Arizona. And we're talking monsoon preparedness. And as Jay is busy with his chainsaw cutting his way through the street and through down power lines on his way down here this morning, the monsoon has hit. I say that.
Most places.
We haven't got a single drop at our house. Not one. Our neighbors, as the crow flies 3 miles away, pouring standing water in their backyard. Not a drop. Our eyes are so crusted from this dust storm last night after doing chores. I'm still pulling sand out of my eyes. I blink and it feels like sandpaper.
Oh, man. Well, but that's kind of typical for Arizona monsoons to be kind of spotty. I had an appointment at Scottsdale Ranch yesterday morning. And through the course of the whole meeting, not a drop. Not even a wisp of breeze. Got in the car and headed back to the office, which was just less than a couple miles away. And trees were down. Water was running down the curbs of the streets. It was beautiful. And, I mean, the storm that hit East Mesa a couple weeks ago, the Tucson's getting ransacked. I saw somebody sent me a Facebook video of Flagstaff. I thought all of Flagstaff was going to flood down to Sedona.
Oh, man.
I thought NAU was moving their campus.
Mudslides and
Oak Creek.
The Museum Fire burn scar. There was that video of that Prius floating down the street, and it was mind-boggling. It looked like something out of a horror film.
Well, we've been talking the last couple weeks. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And now we're there.
Yeah, that Flagstaff's a sad story, and everyone's pointing fingers at each other. You know, the county could have done this. No, that guy could have done that. We've got these sandbags. I mean, they're just big, huge finger-pointing mess and pictures of mudslides and people having to shovel mud out of their driveway,
man,
just to get their vehicles out. So
I think there's been – go ahead, finish up, sir.
I say, you know, a fire that size of the museum fire, I mean, what can you really do? You know, don't be an idiot, start a forest fire. It's really the solution, but it's too late for that now.
Well, I think somebody in Tucson must be praying for patience, because it's going to take a lot of patience for all the people whose roofs were damaged
there
and are looking for roofers to show up this week. You know, people we've talked to have 100 people, clients waiting, lots of insurance claims, not a lot of blue tarps left in Tucson.
Yeah.
So lots of patience, and we'll help you get through as much as we can, but it's tough.
Jennifer and I were traveling through a corner of Arizona, which just happens to be one of our little favorite corners of the state, on Monday. And in one morning's hike, we saw elk, deer, turkey, quail, and a bear. And it hailed on us at 52 degrees. And that was this week. And we thought we were in heaven. We just absolutely thought, this is heaven.
As long as you keep your distance from the bear. Yeah, it's heaven.
he was running the other direction quickly, so we weren't too intimidated by that. But it was a beautiful, beautiful day in Arizona. So the monsoons are here. We've been coaching and talking y'all through prep the last couple weeks. You know, if your porch umbrella ended up in the neighbor's yard, you haven't been listening. If your lawn furniture ended up in the swimming pool, you haven't been listening. If you experienced a roof leak, you weren't listening 3 months ago when we were telling you, maybe you should have your roofs checked now by a Rosie on the House certified roofer. Because I know one certified roofer in Tucson who ordinarily gets about 15 to 20 leads a week is now getting hundreds. Tucson was hit pretty hard. And like Jennifer says, Pima County is running out of blue tarps to cover all the rooftops. So everybody be patient. Take an extra potions of your patient medicine. Sit tight. And should you be in a situation in a rainstorm where your house is leaking water inside the house, we always encourage you, try and find the point where you can drive a nail into your plaster or your drywall ceiling where you think and suspect the water is most congregating, and put a bucket and catch that water. Don't let the water accumulate in your attic to bring the ceiling and the insulation down in a big, wet, sloppy mess all over your furniture and your flooring and your interior contents. If you see, if the leak is to the point where it's actually created a bow from the ceiling, the drywall or the plaster is actually bowing down into the room, you must puncture that hole. And an ice pick is the perfect implement. A small Phillips head screwdriver will do the same thing. A 16-penny nail will do the same thing. Puncture the hole and be prepared to capture the water with a 5-gallon bucket. And hang tight.
Be your own Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yes, that's right. Oh.
As it relates to your yard, if you got rain, you might actually get weeds. It's been a long time since we've had to worry about those because we've had a lack of rain for so long. But those seeds and those, with all the wind spreading, you know, there is no shortages of weeds that will be popping up shortly. So if you did get rain, you've got enough moisture in your yard, you can run over to a lot of different areas. You can, a good place, you know, Ewing Irrigation's open Saturday mornings till about 11, I believe, and get pre-emergent granular or liquid. If, like I said, if you got moisture, you should, it should be wet enough. You can apply it there to help anything from popping up. It is, you know, fall is one of the best times to plant in Arizona, and not only plant, but weeds are very opportunistic, and with this moisture, they will be coming. So you can stay on top of that. If you are in a gravel landscape, liquid, I would probably suggest a lot more over the granules as a preference, but again, you have to water those in. And then you've got a great time right now if you are planning on a gardening, if you haven't started one before. It's a lot easier to dig, and the weather's a lot nicer right now than it is when it's you know, a little bit later in the day. The humidity, if the clouds burn off and the humidity rises, a great time to get out there and start digging, or get to a local rental yard and rent a tiller and start getting your soil turned up. If you go the traditional route, a lot of gardens these days are above ground planters, and we're big fans of that here at Rosie on the House for a lot of reasons. The number of soil options is, as it relates to potting and gardening, you can get bulk, you can buy bags, but just the ease of gardening, if you're doing it on a raised garden and just being able to stand and tend to your garden, makes it a lot easier than getting down on your hands and knees, unless you've got kids to do the work for you, you know, to weed and trim
harvest.
And there's a really neat concept called a keyhole garden that I've wanted to do at the point where you are in a position we can start gardening again. Just due to time restrictions, it's not feasible right now, but picture an old-fashioned lock. You know, you've got the round keyhole, and then there's a triangle that comes down, you know, really old-fashioned, and you stick it in and you turn it. Well, it's called a keyhole garden because it's designed that same way. There's a round spot in the middle, and that's where you stand, and that triangle that comes off of it is where you walk into it. So it's almost 360, probably like 300 degrees around you. So you don't even have to walk in a rectangle around your garden. You can stand in one spot and rotate and harvest your entire garden. Or you could have two or three of these different types of keyhole gardens. You could have one for vegetables. You could have one for herbs. You know, Jay always says that's the most expensive thing at the store and the easiest to grow. A little herb garden that way. You could have one for you know, melons. Melons are a great crop. What was it? Two or three months ago, we had the melon farmers in. And our Farm Fresh Hour with the Arizona Farm Bureau.
Talking watermelon.
And not, you know, we always think of melons as needing a lot of vertical, I'm sorry, a lot of horizontal space. But
a lot of real estate. A lot of real estate.
You really don't need it. The plants themselves, if they're growing vertical or they're, you know, going down from your keyhole garden, if it's above ground, you know, the vines will just grow down and around and cascade. And the vine itself will go strong enough to support whatever fruit it's growing. It's very rare to see one grow to the size that it breaks off. So you don't need the size of real estate you would imagine. And when we had Russo Farm in, what was that, last week? I should look it up.
No, it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. We had a caller call in and say, okay, so how do you pick a good watermelon from the grocery store that was never covered? Well, Tammy's point was they go through the same field every day and they're only picking what's ripe that day. So if you're picking one out of the grocery store, out of the big tubs in the front that say Russo Farms, it was picked that day. So you don't have to worry about one over the other.
Good point.
But a few things to look for if you're not at a store that's carrying Russo and it's coming right off of the farm. You want a spot on the melon itself, like where you can tell it was on the ground. If there's not a spot from where it was sitting, it's not ripe enough yet. You know, a lot of people might look at that as a blemish.
Oh, what a great tip. I never heard
on the watermelon. No, that's actually a good sign on the watermelon. And then the lines, you know how there's stripes on it? You don't want clean, crisp lines. You want a blended line. You know, like a blurred edge. If you were in your Photoshop and you took the blur tool along the edge and you blurred it up, you want that intermix. And so those are a couple things you can look for if, again, you don't have a grocery store that's supplying Russo's that's coming right out of the field that day.
Well, you talk about growing vertical melons. My cantaloupe are on a trellis this year. First year I've ever tried it. I now have one cantaloupe. About the size of a dime.
Gotta start somewhere.
We're holding out.